Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, December 10th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. It is now week 15. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you made it to the fantasy postseason. Good for you. On the podcast today, I'm going to cover what we saw last night, a couple quick injury updates. There are some big ones, and the top 10 waiver ads of the week. In the meantime, do me a favor, head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Just because the NFL fantasy season is winding down doesn't mean football is winding down. We're 365 football. We have so much more, too. Baseball is ramping up. I know a lot of folks are, you Bo Jacksons out there, you play fantasy football and fantasy baseball. Our fantasy baseball product, and I'm not even lying, I'm not saying this to say it, I'm not saying this to sell you, it's the best in the entire world. There's nobody who has a better fantasy baseball product than us. And the reason why is nothing to do with me. It's my guy, Vlad Sedler. If you know Vlad, you know, I mean, he is a Bo Jackson or a Deion Sanders. He's great at both fantasy football and fantasy baseball, but a world-class fantasy baseball player, a classy guy too. On top of that, you aren't going to get better than FTN Fantasy for fantasy baseball. So go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off over there as well. Hey, it is week 15. If you made it to the fantasy postseason and you're playing this week, one quick word of advice before we get into anything else. There's no reason to agonize over your starting lineup all week long. That's not going to do you any good. And in fact, your objective is to win, correct? Did you just say correct? Hopefully you talk back to me there. Your objective is to win this week. Duh. But how we win is making things as easy as possible on us when it comes to decisions. That's why, for example, throughout the course of the season in one quarterback leagues, I recommend not rostering two quarterbacks after you get outside of that first month. If you went safe and upside for the first month of the season, cool. But after that, you make the decision. You place your chips on a guy or you say, hey, I'm just streaming. And then you take it from there. But if you have two quarterbacks on your roster, you have a decision to make. Like last week, a lot of people were trying to decide between Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams, and I noticed a lot of people didn't want to start Brock Purdy. Well, that ultimately was the wrong answer, going with Caleb. And you wouldn't have had that problem if you just had one or the other. Now, having Caleb wouldn't have been that great for you, but at least you wouldn't have had to make a decision. Those decisions can really be detrimental, because the more decisions you have to make, the more bad decisions you're likely to make. If you're anything like me, you don't always make the right decision, right? That was my 20s, for example, basically the entire decade. More decisions, more problems. And when it comes to agonizing over start-sit decisions, if you're going to do that all week long, if you're going to obsess over every single rankings update that I put up, which there's going to be like 30 of them during the course of the week at ftnfantasy.com, you're going to drive yourself nuts. And ultimately, you're going to drive yourself so nuts that you're going to have a hard time making a decision. And invariably, if you have that hard time, you're going to make the wrong decision. The moral of the story, deep breath. You'll get through it. Don't obsess over it all week long. Make the start-sit decisions when you need to make them. You don't need to make a start-sit decision until Thursday evening. Then you don't need to make another one until Sunday, I would say morning, but really for us East Coasters, it's early afternoon. That's it. Take the pressure off of yourself. All right, let's talk about last night. So last night we had, it was a fun game. Honestly, I really liked the Simpsons game. I know not everybody did, but my daughter and I sat and watched it. My wife was there too, and it was just really entertaining. My daughter was so into it, so I hope they do more of that in the future. It was really, really cool. And if you don't like it, guess what? You didn't have to watch it. You know, you could just watch the regular broadcast, or you could watch the Manning cast. There's just options for all types of folks out there now, including kids. So the Bengals get by. Joe Burrow has another huge performance. I mean, he's got a shot at 5,000 this year. It's not, you know, he's on pace for over 4,800. So 5,000 is within reach. 40 touchdowns is certainly within reach because now he's up at 33. He goes 369 and 3 in this one. Most of it was Ja'Marr Chase. Hopefully he didn't face him. I know a lot of people got knocked out as a result. 14 for 177 and 2. Otherwise, it was just Chase Brown. And Chase Brown, another solid 100-plus scrimmage yard performance, touchdown, 20 touches. He's been awesome. He's been like the poster of why zero RB is a great strategy. To the other side, it looked like CeeDee Lamb was going to have a massive game. He still had a good game, 6 for 93 and a touchdown. And honestly, I don't think it was him fading. I think it was more Cooper Rush just being Cooper Rush and not really sustaining after the first quarter. It's okay. CeeDee Lamb's going to have these types of games down the stretch. I'm totally in for that. As somebody who has him on a playoff roster, I'm totally in for that. Otherwise, it's just Rico Dowdle. They took the training wheels off, and he has responded back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances. He didn't score a touchdown. It was kind of a Derek Dilemma game, ultimately. I mean, I guess it was okay. He had 15.1 PPR points. But ultimately, he gets Carolina this week. Rico Dowdle is going to be a factor in the first round of the fantasy football playoffs. All right, let's move into the injury stuff here. So let me rip through these. So first and foremost, Jonathan Brooks, I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, torn ACL. All right, we know that. It sucks. But we have a number of other running backs we're paying close attention to. Garendo, Irving, and Walker. So Isaac Garendo, it is a foot sprain. They're going to determine the availability through the course of the week. I'll talk about Patrick Taylor in a little bit, but here's the short term if you have Garendo. Closely monitor his practice status today. If it's DNP, not the end of the world, because he could still go limited and play on Thursday, but it's not a good start. If it's limited, that is a fantastic start to the week. So today is going to be pivotal. Obviously, we won't have a final determination until tomorrow's practice reports. It does seem like he's up against it, but that's just me speculating, reading the tea leaves. Bucky Irving almost certainly won't play this week. According to Todd Bowles, the only way he'll be available is if they can get his back to loosen up. When you have a coach commenting this early in the week on an injury like that, it rarely is a good thing. Just tossing it out there. I'll get to Sean Tucker today in waivers as well. Finally, Kenneth Walker is going to undergo further tests on his calf. That's rarely a good thing as well, but I don't want to get out ahead of myself and just simply assume Zach Charbonnet is the lead back again. Just simply assume Kenneth Walker isn't going to play. We don't really know Mike McDonald's coach speak style yet, and this could be benign, could be nothing, or it could be very significant. You know, we'll see. But this one is one we can't just bank on one way or the other. We got to look through the week here. Over to wide receiver. So George Pickens doesn't seem like he's going to play, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Have a plan in place. It's the Eagles, too. So that plan probably isn't Mike Williams, but maybe. He should get more run, but, you know, it's obviously pretty risky, just given his usage so far. Will Disley, not expected to play this week, could miss a couple weeks. So Stone Smart in deep leagues, but I do think there are better streamer options out there at tight end in your regular size leagues. As far as quarterback, Aiden O'Connell actually may still play this week. It's a bone bruise, so he may have escaped a season-ending injury. Derek Carr, meanwhile, not season-ending right now, though it wouldn't surprise me if they put him on injured reserve. He has a bad fracture in his non-throwing hand. Bad, bad injury right there. Can't take a snap with that. Looks like it'll be Jake Haener. But still no clarification on that. Finally, you know, we do have the Falcons sticking with Kirk Cousins for now. I can't see, like, the way that he's played over the last month. He got Penix there. Maybe they just don't feel like Penix is ready. Maybe this is just being stubborn. Either way, James Winston will start. Drew Lock, if he's healthy enough, will start as well for their respective teams. All right, let's rip through the top 10 waiver ads of the week. Number one is Zach Charbonnet, only because he barely makes the threshold. He is 30% available on Yahoo, 28% on ESPN, so not even on ESPN. I'd go 25 to 50. I wouldn't fault anybody for spending it all, but remember, you can't guarantee that he's going to be the starter this week. So that's where we run into a little bit of a problem. I don't want to spend it all for him to certainly not be a starter this week. That would be bad. Now, again, I think that we're more likely than not seeing him as the starter this week. But what if he isn't next week? You know, we still need some of that fab maybe. I don't know. I feel a little reluctant there, but I wouldn't talk you out of it if you said I'm absolutely doing it. So he's not available in most leagues, though. Sincere McCormick is 20 to 40%. I think he takes over as the lead back down the stretch. He has been really their best back this season over the last 2 weeks. Really nice. And we see this all the time. Younger backs taking over down the stretch. Tank Bigsby, I'm going 15 to 30%. I don't love the situation, but he did see 18 carries this past week, scored a rushing touchdown. He's in a great spot to produce. They just need to be able to move the ball on offense for the Jaguars. Adam Thielen, 15 to 30%. I know normally people are like, whoa, I thought you don't like older wide receivers at this time of year. Well, I don't. But Adam Thielen missed 2 months, so he's fresh as opposed to a normal 34-year-old receiver in December. He's kind of in October form given how much time he missed, and I think he can be productive here. flex or better. Next two guys are both the Jets running backs, Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. I don't know. I wish I did. I don't know which one. Isaiah Davis has scored in each of the last two games. Braylon Allen played more snaps. It could still just be 50-50 if Brees misses another game. So I'm only going 10 to 20%. You'll notice that Fab is higher this week. It's because we have 3 weeks left. You know, your Fab money runs out of value very quickly, and it doesn't go as far as it used to. So we're using more of it now. And we also want to make sure we get guys if we're trying to get them against our opponents. Patrick Taylor. Okay, 10 to 20%. No guarantee Garendo plays. No guarantee he sits. So Taylor is the next man up. That's why I'm placing some chips on him. If I have Garendo, then I'm going to go out and get Taylor. If I have an opponent who has Garendo, I'm probably going to go out and get Taylor because this is a week where we can block our opponents. Remember, all that matters this week is winning. If we don't win, we're done. It's not week seven where I would say don't block. I think blocking is silly in week seven because if you don't win, well, you're going to play in week eight. And you still have more than enough of a chance of making the postseason. Now, if we lose, we're done. So our bench doesn't matter as much as it once did. And we really want to use that bench strategically. Now, you can't do this if you have four bench spots. If you have six, probably can do it. If you have eight, you definitely can do it. So block your opponent. Pay attention to what your opponent needs. Blocking is a strategy this week. Hunter Henry, 7 to 15%. He's available in enough leagues. I guess a lot of people fell asleep with them on bye last week. So I don't mind Hunter Henry at all. He's a top 12 fantasy tight end available way too many leagues. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 7 to 15%. I'd be higher on him if no Derek Carr. I don't love Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but this is plain and simple a situation where they have nobody to catch the football. He's going to be that somebody. And if he goes out and has four for 50 and a touchdown, he's a flex option. You know, plain and simple. That's it. Don't love him, but you may not be able to be choosy this week. Also, Rome Odunze, 7 to 15%. I love the ceiling. I've loved the ceiling for a while. If you've read the waiver wire tool at ftnfantasy.com over the last how many weeks, I've had Rome Odunze in there. It's a ceiling play. It's a late season ceiling play. I love young wide receivers at this time of year because this is where they really start to assert themselves. Doesn't mean he's going to, but he did score twice last week. Nice high ceiling for the stretch run. I mentioned I would give you Sean Tucker. So he is at 11, and you know we'll give you the bonus one this week. The entire list is 41 different players, including six defenses to stream this week at ftnfantasy.com. But Tucker, really quickly, 5 to 10%. He's not Bucky Irving. If Bucky Irving misses time, Tucker will not play Bucky Irving's role. Rashad White will get a big boost. He'll be an RB2 or better. And then Tucker will be more of like a desperation flex. He's not bad, and they will use him a little bit, but I would expect, like we saw this past week when Bucky Irving left the game, that it was primarily White and then a little bit of Tucker. So, you know, maybe he's a better DFS option than he is a season-long option. But again, if you have Bucky Irving and your waiver wire is picked over, you go out and you grab Sean Tucker. Or if your opponent has him, like you try and put up those blockers. And maybe it isn't Sean Tucker. Maybe it's the whoever's highest. Maybe it's Sincere McCormick or maybe it's Patrick Taylor or whoever. But you put those blockers up this week against your opponent. Doesn't matter what the rest of the league is doing. Doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters this week is your opponent and beating that opponent because we have to live to play in the semifinal round. Don't win this week. That doesn't happen. All right, tomorrow on the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, I'll update you with all the latest injury information. So make sure you're subscribing to that feed as well. I'm there on Wednesdays during the NFL season. Then we'll be back on this feed on Thursday. We'll give you the regular Thursday and Friday. Obviously, the championship week is going to be unique due to Christmas. I'll update you on that schedule as we get a little bit closer, but I will not be doing a podcast on that Wednesday, Christmas Day. So we'll likely have to preview those games on Tuesday of that week. Anyway, that's all on that front. FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out, especially if you're a fantasy baseball player. Go check it out. Also, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter/X, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.